Hello, Through the Word, and welcome back to Hebrews 12. I decided to record part 2 for this chapter because there's something powerful here, something stirring. It's one of those passages that stays with me. Every time I read it, deep calls to deep. And after all, isn't that what the preacher wants for us? To hear God's voice calling us. And in many ways, this last part of chapter 12 is the culmination of the whole book. Everything has built up to this. The preacher has poured out his heart for 12 powerful chapters with passion and conviction. God has spoken. Today, if you hear his voice. He brought us back to the wilderness with the Israelites, to those who hardened their hearts to God's voice, who shrank back from God's calling and never entered his rest. Then he reminded us of the faithful, the righteous who lived by faith. By faith, they overcame evil kingdoms, administered justice, shut the mouths of lions, and quenched the fury of flames. They saw him who is invisible. They saw, and in the same way, the preacher called us to fix our eyes on Jesus. And he called us to draw near to God, to come boldly to the throne of grace. But what will we find if we actually do it, if we hear the call, heed the invitation, and draw near? He is the living God, awesome and terrifying, holy beyond measure. How could we stand before God Almighty? Have you ever been thoroughly and completely overwhelmed by nature's might? When thunder shakes your world and lightning fills the sky with wonder, and you remember how very small you really are. Our world is full of wonder, and he created all of it. Didn't we just read that it's a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God? So what will we find? Deep calls to deep, and it's time for us to dive in. Verse 18 begins with a vivid picture of Mount Sinai. Do you remember the scene? Can you picture in your mind's eye? The preacher wants to take us there, to show us what drawing near to God was like for them. He begins, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched, that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them." The scene at Mount Sinai was breathtaking. Fire descended from heaven and consumed the mountaintop. The Lord descended in the fire. Thunder and lightning, darkness and gloom. The trumpet blasted, and the voice of God rang out from the heavens. They heard God's voice and begged Moses to ask God to relent. In verse 20, "Because they could not bear what was commanded, if even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death." The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." Can you see it all? Does it overwhelm you? And is that what it's like for us to draw near to God? No, we do not come to Mount Sinai, not because God has changed, but because he changes us. Mount Sinai, in all its wonder and terror, is what it looks like to approach Almighty God through the law in your own righteousness. Sinai is where the law was given, but the Israelites also had the sacrifices. Sinai made a necessary statement, but they were called to another mountain in the land of promise, to Mount Zion. Yet even Jerusalem was only a shadow of the true promised land and the true tabernacle in heaven. This is where we draw near, and here the preacher paints for us a vivid picture of our mountain. And as we read it, I hope you see it. I hope you explore it and get lost in it. Verse 22, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. What a picture! Glory! This is the city that Abraham longed for, that every great pilgrim of the faith waited for, the city with foundations, whose maker and builder is God. The scene is glorious. Countless thousands of angels singing in joyful assembly. Can you hear them? The harmony of heaven's voices. Can you feel the song resonate? And with them, the church of the firstborn, not first in birth order, but chosen by God. He wrote our names in heaven. Every now and then, archaeologists find an ancient stone with someone's name etched into it for ages. Just imagine if that was your name. But this is greater. Your name is written in heaven for all eternity. And then, most importantly, you have come to God, the judge of all. But who can stand before the judge of all? The spirits of the righteous made perfect. That's who. They are righteous by faith, and he perfected his good work in them. Now they join the joyful assembly. How is that possible? Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant. There he is, seated at the right hand of God, always interceding for us. He draws us near, and he provides the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Abel's blood spoke vengeance, and Cain would never escape the guilt. Jesus' blood speaks mercy and grace. It speaks atonement. It is finished. No more guilt. You belong here. That is where he calls us, heavenward. But then the preacher brings us back to earth, back here where God has spoken to us by his Son. Verse 25, see to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? Don't refuse God's voice. It sounds absurd, but you can do it. He's given you that freedom. Many Israelites refused his voice at Sinai, even after it shook the very earth beneath them. In verse 26, at that time his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. The preacher is quoting the prophet Haggai, a prophecy given centuries after Sinai, to the remnant of Israelites who returned to rebuild Jerusalem after exile. Everything was ruin, as if God had shaken it all to rubble, even the temple. Yet as they rebuilt, God sent them word to be strong, to work. And a prophecy, once more, God will shake heaven and earth, sea and dry land. He will shake all nations. The shaking here is the kind that brings things down, anything that wasn't built to stand. All the loose stuff falls first. And whether the house stands depends on its foundation. Do you remember Jesus' parable of the man who built his house on the rock and the other who built on sand? The storm came, the rivers rose, and both homes were shaken. But one stood. Do you remember which it was? It was the home of him who hears Jesus' words and puts them into practice. That house had foundation. The other heard and did nothing, and that one fell with a great crash. Has your life been shaken? Forget shaken. Some of you have been through full-on disaster. But do you ever wonder why? What is God doing? Verse 27 offers insight. The words once more indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. So God shakes to remove what can be shaken. Picture it this way. Whether it's earthquake or tornado or storm, When something big hits, instinct kicks in, and you look around for something secure, solid. Sometimes things you thought were stable give way, and you have to let go. And when your life shakes, sometimes God shows you that what you're relying on is faulty. I have been shaken many times in my life. I tried to pick a story to tell here, and I got overwhelmed by all the memories. But you don't need my stories. We all go through it. Yet here we are, still standing, still intact. Well, mostly intact. Some things did not survive. Some things we put our trust in didn't hold. Money, job, people, even God's people, even church can fail us. Verse 27 tells us that all created things will be shaken, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Only the eternal things make it to eternity. I know that should be obvious, but sometimes we need reminding. Faith, hope, and love, they'll make it. Money, house, things, temporary. But which one are you relying on? Sometimes it's hard to tell, but when your world shakes, so what do we do? How do we respond? Verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. The preacher says, be thankful. Fill your heart with gratitude because we are receiving a kingdom. And nothing, no storm, no quake, no war or disease or evil or tragedy or any other created thing can shake that kingdom. It is ours. So be thankful and worship God with reverence and awe. God is a consuming fire. It's a quote from Deuteronomy. As the Israelites prepared to enter the good land, Moses exhorted them, do not make idols. The Lord is a jealous God. He will burn them away, and if you don't let go, you'll get burned with them. Read Hebrews 12. Feel the ground shake. Worship God with reverence and awe. And I'll meet you back here for our final chapter.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.